and welcome to the Zeitgeist Tapes, a podcast about the place where politics meets popular culture. My name's Emma Burnell. I'm a journalist and layabout, and I'm here with Professor Stephen Fielding. Hello, Steve.
Hello. I'm also a layabout.
I don't believe this. I'm a student and I know how hard my professors work and give me lovely good marks, and I hope they're listening.
And as a professor, I know how hard all my students work and students around the world.
There you go. See, we're new year, new loving. So this episode, we are going to focus on the drama film Bulworth from the mid-1990s.
1996, 1997?
That sounds about right. Yep. I saw it at university, so those are the years I was at university, or two out of three. Mm.
So why are we talking about Bulworth then, today?
Well, it's a really interesting film. It's about a Democratic senator who has lost all his money and has also lost his way politically. He's very much, owned almost outright by the health insurance industry. He has no moral compass and he has a breakdown. And this breakdown leads him to decide to commit suicide, but actually take out a contract on his own life in order for his daughter to be able to claim on his very high insurance policy. Now, I don't think that's no spoilers there, because that is all happens in the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yes, yes.
And it's the journey that he takes after that moment of decision that actually feeds the film. And the film is all about him questioning his morality, America's morality, and the place of American politics and the reaction of American politics to the challenges in modern society. And watching it back 20 years later, it's extraordinarily timely to the debates that we're having today, the debates that the Democratic Party is having today about what kind of party they want to be. It foreshadows Trumpism in many ways, but it also foreshadows democratic centralism.
Yeah, because it's set in the 1996 California Senate elections, and he's a long-term senator, and he clearly started off as a liberal on the left wing of the Democratic Party. There are photographs
of him with Louis Farrakhan, is it?
I don't know about Louis Farrakhan, but certainly Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all the various kind of radical leaders of the 1960s. Yeah. So that's where he's come from. But he's spouting, in order to get re-elected as senator, all kinds of kind of positions. He's against affirmative action.
Yeah.
He's against big welfare and high taxation. But at the same time, he says, well, we can still do things with government. We need smaller government, but better government.
Yeah.
He's spouting the kind of the rhetoric of Bill Clinton, who is referred to at various points.
Yeah.
So this is kind of third way politics before the term, because Tony Blair's yet to be elected, actually.
Tony Blair is yet to be elected, but Blair, I mean, lifted third way politics almost wholesale from Clinton.
Yeah.
And Clinton was in government when this film was, had been in government, I think possibly just been re-elected.
In 96, I think, yes.
So, this is a very pointedly, a pointed critique of Clintonism.
And the breakdown that Bulworth suffers is largely because he can't reconcile those things anymore. He the vacuity of it, and that he realises he is just basically a paid agent of rich people, particularly, like you say, the health insurers who make it their business to stop what is made plain during the film, because certain like facts are thrown at the audience about how more effective government healthcare is compared to private healthcare and things like that. So that's why he wants to kill himself. He cannot live with himself anymore. Until
he goes to a
church.
He doesn't sleep or eat for 3 days.
Yes.
And then he goes to a black church for what would be a standard campaign stop. And instead of making his vacuous stump speech.
We're on the eve of a new millennium.
Yes. He's very, very honest with the voters at the Black Church about why he's never done anything for the Black community.
Yeah.
And
they... You don't give us any money. Yeah.
So, of course, we don't listen to South Central. And this is obviously... The voters in the church react very positively to this. They decide that they love the honesty, even if not the message. three of the young female voters in the church decide to hang out with him.
One of whom actually is one of the people that's been employed to kill him, or to get him to be killed.
Yeah.
She's part of the hit that he put out on himself.
Yes.
Although he doesn't know
he doesn't know
and
that.
She doesn't know that he put the hit out on himself either.
So they have a sort of slightly Shakespearean, everyone's wearing other people's clothes kind of relationship. But of course, so these three women take him off to this club where he spends the night dancing and learning to rap.
Yeah, and smoking dope.
Doing
all kinds of things.
Drinking a lot, eating chicken wings.
Yes.
There's a slight concept, and this is a film directed by and starring Warren Beatty, who is a classic white American liberal. There is a slight concept of these magical Black people come and save him, and Black women.
Well, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry, who is extraordinary in this film.
Yes, she's very good. She's also very young, the point is made. Yeah. They do in the end form some kind of romantic attachment, although there's no kissing.
No, they snog at the end.
Do they?
In front of the cameras.
Oh yes, at the very end, of course, yes. But it's kind of on the down, on the down low.
No, and the only time they're in bed together is when he actually falls asleep.
Falls asleep, yeah. So she is this this kind of hit lady, for want of a better term, from South Central. He starts to speak the truth, the painful truth. You know, we're not doing it because you're not paying us. Yeah. But then there's various other speeches he gives which are slightly more positive in terms of how things might have to change. But she actually respects him, and he gains respect for himself.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of the female figure is kind of saving him. Yeah. So it's all a bit...
It's a little kind of like, oh, you needed the Black person to teach you the truth. Kind of saving the white liberal.
Yes, up to a point. Yeah. Yes.
It's complicated because, of course, the people who are growing up in South Central probably have more idea of what it's like to grow up in South Central than the rich white liberal guy. Mm. They would be able to teach him some stuff. But there is an element of I've been saved, and they don't have necessarily the kind of complex internal life that he has.
No, and also there's a bit of sort of simplicity going on when because he starts wandering around South Central and he comes across a gang of kids who were being employed by a drugs baron
played by Don Cheadle.
Yes, and they're basically doing his business and they've got guns, but in the end he sort of engages with them and he buys them ice cream and then he sees how the police treat them and the kind of prejudice the disrespect. And he stands up for them and he can get away with it because he's a senator.
Because he's the white senator.
White senator. And through that, he wins the respect of Don Cheadle.
Yes.
And because of the things that he's saying, which we can talk about the media and other things, and about what needs to be done in South Central, the drugs baron, in the end, change it. You know, he's going to start doing good.
Yeah.
So this is all a bit, I'm not sure we're meant to take it as seriously as literally true, but he has an effect at least on some figures within the Black community as well. He shows that things can change, and so they change too.
Yes. There is also the interesting relationship with his political advisors, who are Oliver
Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver. What,
Pratt? Pratt. Oliver Pratt.
I think it's Pratt, something like that. And Platt, then, Platt, not Pratt.
Yeah, edit that out.
And Josh Molina, both of whom end up in the West Wing.
Of course, of course.
It's a very young little baby Joshua Molina.
Yes.
And they are terrified by his change. And you know, desperately trying to stop it until, of course, it turns out to be very popular. At which point, they adopt it as a strategy.
Yeah, which is kind of an interesting conceit, I think, because of course the whole reason why liberal Democrats like himself, like Bill Clinton, went right, was because they couldn't get elected.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is the interesting sort of thing that so they abandon that strategy And people say, oh, Jay Bulworth, your new strategy. But it's not. He's having a nervous breakdown. Yeah. At least he was originally. Your new strategy is working. You're now more popular than ever you were. And so you wonder, well, really? There are certain questions about that. But of course, there'll be people today that would say, well, Bernie Sanders, Jeremy Corbyn. They've all shown the way and abandoned this triangulation that the Clinton-Blair era is associated with. But that's one of the conceits of the film, that he reveals what the truth of the matter is. He casts aside all of this compromise and is embraced unaccountably by all these people that had rejected liberal Democrats in the 1970s and the 1980s.
Yeah, and it is, and certainly in the time the film was made, there is no evidence that that would have been a workable strategy. We are now in very different political times.
Yes.
And I mean, Sanders in particular, I'm not convinced by. But certainly Corbynism did a hell of a lot better at the recent election than people thought. Though it is worth saying, still didn't win.
And for whatever reasons as well, we don't really know. Well, some people would claim they do know, but it's you know, a rather complicated election, was it not? But one of the things that it does relate to where we are today, watching a film from 20 years ago critiquing the approach of Clinton and, in effect, Tony Blair. Because during the course of he's had his breakdown, but then he realises actually he's found something, the truth, and he starts articulating it partly through rap, which is a bit interesting, but not always through rap. But he starts to articulate and ask questions, which are the questions which Donald Trump and right-wing populists have asked. And in many ways, you could say Trump and Farage and others are the right's response to the failure of the left that went right to address some of the central issues of importance to ordinary people's lives.
Mm.
So Bulworth asks, you know, where did all the good jobs go? You know, why are people's lives not getting any better? Why are the rich getting richer? Mm. And we're not doing anything about it, people like him, politicians like himself. So he asks these questions. And in the film, the black population of South Central LA is kind of the people who pay the consequences. But he does mention about a very, you know, at certain points about white, you know, white dudes and this and that. But it is interesting that he's raising questions that those of very different political persuasions are asking and coming up with their own answers about 20 years later.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we could listen to a little bit of him doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's up to you. What'll we do? What'll we do? Well, it's up to you. You know, it ain't that funny. You contribute all my money. You make your contribution, then you get your solution. As long as you can pay, I'm gonna do it all your way. Yes, the money talks and the people walk. Yeah. Now let me hear you say it. Big money.
Oh, big money! Big money!
Big money! Big money! Big money! Big money! Big money! Big money!
Really real. The name of our game is Let's Make a Deal. Now people got their problems, the haves and the have-nots, but the ones that make me listen pay for 30-second spots.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Yo, Bank of America, this table over here, Wells Fargo and Citibank, you really very dear. Loan billions to Mexico and never have to fear, cause taxpayers, take it in the rear.
Take it in the rear, take it in the rear, take it in the rear, take it in the rear.
You over here? We got our friends from oil. They don't give a shit how much wilderness is spoiled. They tell us that they're careful. We know that it's a lie. As long as we keep driving cars, they let the planet die. Exxon, Mobil, the Saudis in Kuwait. If we still got the Middle East, the atmosphere can wait. The Arabs got the oil, we buy everything they sell. But if the brothers raise the price, we blow them all to hell. Now let me hear you say it. Saddam!
Saddam!
Hussein!
Hussein!
Saddam!
Saddam!
Hussein!
Hussein!
Mmm!
I want you to get me a phone number, a Dr. Morris Fishman, UCLA. He's at the Department of Psychiatry. Go, get the number now. Get it now.
Yo,
go.
Everybody gonna get sick someday, but nobody know how they gonna pay.
Healthcare, managed care, HMOs.
Ain't gonna work, no sir, not those. Cause the thing that's the same in every one of these. These motherfuckers there, the insurance companies.
Insurance!
Yo, you can call it single payer, a Canadian way. Only socialized medicine will ever save the day. Come on now, let me hear that dirty word. Socialism!
I should explain that the sound dips in and out a bit there because in the film, you are seeing the assassination set up during that point. So that's why there's slightly different levels there.
And what you'll have noticed from that clip is that one of the things that he does is that he asks those questions in rap. Not very good rap, but then he's a middle-aged white dude, so...
It is meant to be funny
that
he's doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, you know, I think if he was doing it in good rap, that would not have made the film work.
Yes.
It is... And I think in some ways that is a self-reflection of Warren Beatty making the film. He's sort of saying, look, I get it. I get that this is all a bit kind of weird white dude making this point. But actually, if I don't make it, who else is?
Yeah, because he was in a position to make the film and not everybody would have made that film in that way. He would have had the ability to do it. And he also raises questions during the course of various interviews he has with journalists, basically saying, well, you're a bunch of white rich dudes who are employed by even richer white dudes who are asking some white dudes, me included, questions about politics, and you wonder why we're not really addressing the basic questions, and we're all paid for by commercials which are largely from the insurance industry, which doesn't want to have socialized medicine, it wants it completely in private hands. So he kind of, in his kind of own way, is a kind of Noam Chomsky, a comedic Noam Chomsky, pointing out the inherent biases of the media as well.
Yeah.
So it's a film which is, I think it's very funny.
Yes.
It's very pointed in certain respects. And I think Warren Beatty is very good.
Yes.
He's very good in it. But it has, like all films about politics, whether they're funny or dramatic, something very serious to say.
Yeah.
And actually, it's quite tragic. In some, if you're on the left, the film is quite tragic because it's raising questions 20 years ago and saying we need to do something about this. Maybe the responses are very simplistic. You know, as you were saying, Jay Bulworth, had he gone off and done that in real life, would he really have been as popular as he subsequently is shown to become? But those are questions that the centre-left didn't really properly address.
Yeah.
You know, the left
and
behind...
And I'll read the whirlwind now. The centre-left is at outs because it didn't address those things.
Yes.
Largely.
Oh, yes. It's because those questions that were posed by a rich Hollywood movie star in a film from 1996 were not answered.
Yeah.
But people were asking those questions on both sides of the Atlantic, within New Labour, within the Clinton, Gore camp.
I mean, the poverty depicted in South Central in the late 90s, I think some of that has changed. Certainly it's changed in the inner city in London. And that there is not always the kudos given to the centrist Democrats, the centrist Labour, for some of the good that was done. But, the left's problem is that it always wants more change. The right's problem, until now, is that it didn't want change. Conservative used to mean conservative. Conserve, to save, to resist change. The the right now has been taken over by the radical right, the left by its more natural radicalism. And I think that's where politics is now in such an interesting state of flux, because both sides want radical change.
Mm.
It's not a change versus stay the same.
That's true. That's true. But in the film, Bulworth is basically saying we've lost our way. We should go back. I mean, the implication, we should go back to the 60s, being the radicals of the 60s, without then learning the lessons of why they ended up where they were. But also over exaggerating the fact that nothing had really changed in the interim, that Democrats in office hadn't really altered the lives of blacks of South Central LA. But the one thing it gets wrong, I think, is in looking forward, is saying, well, we need to, it's the black population who are going to be the ones that will just sort of detach themselves. Yeah. As I said, he briefly mentions white people, but they're not the ones that are seen to be left behind by this kind of politics. It's the black population.
Yeah.
And as we know, rightly or wrongly, it's a lot of white dudes, old white dudes who feel that they've been left, working class white dudes who feel they've been left behind by this kind of politics.
Yeah, I mean, that is the core Trump vote. It's and almost the opposite from Reagan Democrats, who were the white middle class who started to do well.
Yeah, blue-collar, skilled workers with jobs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's the dystopian version of the Reagan Reagan Democrats. And it's, again, as you say, it's the questions that are raised by this film that were never actually taken on and never actually answered.
And although this might sound like a fantasy, a kind of a Saunders Corbyn fantasy, it ends, actually, maybe, continuing it, maybe along Corbyn Saunders' fantasist lines. Jay Bulworth, because he puts his suit to one side and he dons kind of rapper stuff as he kind of goes around South Central, loping around South Central LA. But towards the end of the film, he has his sleep.
Yeah.
He kind of recovers. You know, the black family that look after him, He's back to what he used to be.
Yeah.
He's got his suit on. He's got his tie on. He's looking like a politician. And we think that we're allowed to think, oh, he's going to put all that behind him now, all this rhetoric, all this radicalism. He isn't going to keep it going. And we realise he is going to keep it going. But then he walks out amid the lights. He kisses Nina. So that relationship, which is kind of to say, the white liberal dude and the black chick, you know, that's a kind of it's a very maybe slightly dodgy relationship, but it's meant to be politically symbolic.
To be fair, he openly says, "I am too old for you."
You're way too young, and you're way too black.
Yeah.
You know, he does make the right point as well. Yeah. But at the moment where it looks like, oh, all of this is going to come together, and there's all this light, so it's a bit like heavenly. It's all the press lights. Then he is assassinated.
He is assassinated, not by his own contract, but by the health insurance industry.
By the health insurance industry.
Although, I think one of the least likely things in this film is that the health lobbyist does it himself.
Himself.
But like, rather than subcontracting, which you'd think he would probably do.
I suspect that was done for dramatic reasons. But the interesting thing about that ending is that there are echoes of a film that Warren Beatty did called The Parallax View from 1976. Which is looking into fictionalizing an explanation as to why all these great politicians of the 60s were all being assassinated. You know, JFK, Bobby, Kennedy, and Martin Luther King.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he plays a journalist who discovers what's going on. And as he discovers the truth, and he thinks he's about to escape the corporation that's doing it, and he goes into the light, which is like heaven. This is a classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is exactly how Bulworth is killed in the light.
Yeah, yeah.
He's shot. The hero is shot. In both films, the hero is shot by the conspirators, by the corporations, by those that are running politics, at least so far as those films are concerned.
That's a really interesting. I haven't seen The Parallax View, but that's a very interesting parallel.
Parallax. The parallel with The Parallax. which, and I would, listener, if you can, definitely watch The Parallax View.
And maybe we will discuss it in a future podcast.
Maybe we will talk about it, yes. So it's kind of interesting for the Ultimate Politics, because it's kind of optimistic, but then it clearly doesn't really think that, at least in the short term, it's going to work.
Yeah.
So it has to end some way. And so, yeah, he's shot by the industry, the insurance industry, whose interests he is challenging.
And there's, I think the last word of the film is given to this strange sort of semi-narrator character who is a homeless black man who
kind of
sort of follows him around.
Yeah, saying, gives him
advice. You've
got
to be a spirit, not a ghost.
Not a ghost. Yes. And that's the end, isn't
and
it?
And that's the end, yeah. And so we don't know if he dies, do we?
That's actually true. That's actually true, yes. He is shot and it's outside the hospital, this kind of idiot savant of the streets. Is there. So it's left open. I think he's been killed. But I think what that guy's meant to be saying is that, you know, this film has revealed something.
Yeah.
So he's saying to the audience,
you have to be a spirit, not a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a great film. I'd forgotten how good a film it was. Just enjoyable. It's a good piece of fun art as well as making interesting political points. It's slightly more simplistic politically than some of the other things that we've looked at, but that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes polemic does reveal things to us that we should be thinking about.
And it's a film that I think has been completely overlooked. I mean, completely forgotten about. Yeah. I'd forgotten about it, to be honest. And I think it actually, now watching it 20 years later, I think it's relevant, as relevant to our own times as it was, and perhaps even more so, than it was in 1996 when it was released.
There you go. Well, listeners, we implore you to, if you haven't, revisit Bulworth. It is Bulworth it. And on that terrible, terrible line, I think that's probably where we'll leave this.
Please.
If you've enjoyed all of the podcasts, apart from my bad jokes, please rate and review us. And we will leave you with the notion that this is a political...